Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Grace Abides podcast. My name is Nick and I'm the pastor at Abiding Grace Lutheran Church in Southlake, Texas. Today we have a very special subject, one that I am extremely excited about. We are looking at the theology of Star Wars. This is part one of a three-part series, The Theology of Star Wars. The first Star Wars came out in 1977 and I was born in 1979. So, as long as I've been alive, I've known Star Wars. So, as a child, my childhood was about three things. It was about sports, Jesus, and Star Wars, probably in that order. Now, I don't know how to bring sports into the equation, but I do think that we can put Star Wars and theology, the story of God, what the Bible says about who God is, and I think there's some parallels there, something that we can learn from. So today, we are looking at part one, and part one is the Force. What is the Force? What is the Force? So if you go back to 1977, the first Star Wars, A New Hope, Luke Skywalker is living in Tatooine with his aunt and uncle, and he goes to see Ben Kenobi. And when he's there, he's talking to Ben Kenobi, and Ben Kenobi, who we learn is Obi-Wan Kenobi, tells Luke about the Force. And he says what the Force is by explaining what it does. So he tells Luke that the Force gives Jedis their power, surrounds us and penetrates us, and binds the galaxy together. So those are the three things that the Force does. You can go to YouTube and type in Star Wars, Luke meets Obi-Wan, or something like that, and you will find the video clip of Obi-Wan telling Luke that the Force gives Jedis their power, surrounds us and penetrates us, and binds the galaxy together. So, number one, the Force gives Jedis their power. If you remember the end of that first movie, Luke is flying his X-Wing towards the Death Star, and he's got his targeting mechanism on to help him hit the exhaust port that he needs to hit. And he hears Obi-Wan's voice that says, "Use the Force, Luke. Use the Force, Luke." So he turns off his targeting machine and he uses the Force and he blows up the Death Star. I apologize if I've given away the ending, but it came out 43 years ago. My assumption is that if you're going to have seen it, you will have seen it by now. So it's the Force that helps Luke blow up the Death Star. It's the power, trusting in that power, that gives Luke the power to blow up the Death Star. I remember one day when I was in seminary getting ready for a class, I walked in and my professor was there. Dr. Kevin Dudley, and I said, "Oh man, you ready for class today?" And he said, "I don't know if I am, but the God in me is." What a teachable moment, something that I'll remember for the rest of my life, that it is the God in us who gives us the strength as people of faith to overcome the problems in life, to get through each day. And so if we look in Scripture to a couple of places where God's strength was given to people, the first place I go to is Samson. Samson in Judges 16, Samson was a mighty warrior for the Israelites. He was undefeated. His power came because he was a Nazarite and never cut his hair. And so once they found that out, once the Philistines figured that out, they got Delilah to cut his hair and he wasn't as strong anymore. And so they were able to arrest him and make him their prisoner. So if we go to Judges 16, starting at verse 28, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes.' Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived." So the Philistines had Samson, they tore out his eyes, and they were mocking him. They had him tied up in the temple, and there was like a couple thousand of them there. And so Samson says, "Lord, give me the strength one more time." And so he pushes the pillars, and the entire place falls down, and everyone dies. The strength of the Lord coming through Samson. You go to Psalm 28, verses 7 and 8. It says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one." Go to Philippians 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Isaiah 40, verse 29. "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." As people of faith, we can rely on God's strength. We have been promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is with us, that God is with us, that this God who is omnipotent, this God who is all-powerful, is with us to help us get through and over and past any of the difficult things of life. It is the Force that gives a Jedi their strength, and it is God who gives us our strength. Thanks be to God for giving us strength. I don't know if you have examples in your life of when God has given you strength. For some people, it's right now, being at home in quarantine, and God is giving us strength to get through. As a pastor, I will tell you that God has certainly given me strength in times when I had no idea how I was going to make it through the day, through the conversation that I was in, through the situation that I was in, trying to comfort somebody when it just, words wouldn't come. But here, strength comes. Strength comes from God. So that's the first thing. The second thing Obi-Wan Kenobi says, the Force surrounds us and penetrates us. In the movies, they say, may the Force be with you. May the Force be with you. I would say that the Force is with them, right? I mean, the Force is always with them. Why do they need to continue to remind one another? Or why do they need to continue to say, may the Force be with you? I would say it'd be a better thing to say, remember the Force is with you. Remember the Force is with you. Remember, in the Lutheran church, in our worship service, we say, may the Lord be with you all the time. But we know God is, right? We believe that God is with us. That's what the Bible says. Still yet, we often pray things like, come Holy Spirit, all this stuff. But we believe that God is with us. I mean, it might be better for us to say, remember that God is with you. Remember God is with you. Remember the Lord is with you. How great of a greeting would that be? Or when you're saying goodbye to somebody, say, remember that the Lord is with you. Remember God is with you. You're not alone. You're never alone. God is with you. Now, just a couple Bible verses to comfort us in those moments when we'd feel like we're alone. Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:4. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 2:4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. So how do we know that the Spirit is with us? How do we know that God is with us? How do we know that? For me, it's how have I changed? If I look back on my life and I say, I look back on the person I was 20 years ago and I notice how I've changed, it's obvious to me that God is with me, that God is with me, that God is transforming me, that God is molding me to be something more than I was. Not that God didn't love me then, but God called me to something bigger than what I was, to do more than what I was doing. And I've seen the Holy Spirit working through me and in me, and I pray that you have too. I pray that you can look back on your life and you can say, wow, yeah, I've changed a lot, and that must be the work of God. That must be the work of God in my life, changing me, helping me overcome, helping me through, you know, the power of God to get through certain things, but also the presence of God and God working in us to make us who we are, to make us who God wants us to be, to make us what God created us to be. That's how I know God is with me. I also know God is with me when I was praying the other day with a family and we were outside and I said, Lord, you know, just make it obvious to us that you are here. And just as I said that, the wind started, it was a perfect day without a breath of wind. And just as I said that, the wind picked up and blew on our faces. And as soon as I said amen, it stopped. And for many of us, we could say, well, that's a coincidence. But I say there are no coincidences. That God is giving us reminders all the time that we are not alone, that God is with us. And then the third thing is the Force binds the galaxy together. It holds the galaxy together, right? Well, our God is a God who unites, who brings people together, who binds us together. So if we go to John 17:22-23, Jesus said, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Get this, listen to this, Jesus says, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. The world will know that you sent me because they are united, because they are bound together, which means as people of faith, Jesus says the way that we are united to one another, the way that we are bound together, helps point others to Jesus. How powerful is that? That is what God is calling us to do, to be united, to be together, to love one another. Colossians 3, verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Bind us together. When I was a kid, my family were members of St. John Lutheran Church in Romeo, Michigan. And every week we'd sing a song, Bind Us Together. Bind us together, bind us together with love. And as I think about that, I think about what a powerful image that is for the people of God. Well, when you think of a binding, I think of a book, right? A book is bound together. It's a bunch of sheets of paper with stuff on it that is bound together. And a book is incomplete if it's missing a page. Imagine getting to the end and a page or two or three is missing and you're reading a story. Well, what happened? What did I miss? There's something missing here. It's supposed to all be bound together, but it's not. Something is missing. Like a book, the people of God are bound together by the Holy Spirit. And that book is incomplete if a page or a person is missing. The job of the Spirit, what God is trying to do is unite people, is bring people together into community, bring people together into a loving community, a community that resembles the kingdom of God, right? And so if people are missing, it's the same as if a page is missing from a book. We are called to be bound together, together. How powerful is that? But not just us. God is binding together all of creation. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Verse 8. That he lavished on us with all his wisdom and understanding. Verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Verse 10. To be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ, to bring unity to all things. Unity to all things. God is binding everything together. I love how the Bible sometimes has one sentence that is three verses. But to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ, God is pulling us all together, binding us all together. And whether we feel like we're bound, whether we believe that that's true or not, it will be true. That is what the Spirit is doing right now. And that is what the Spirit is going to do. That's what Jesus is going to do when he returns. I said that Obi-Wan Kenobi, when he explained the Force to Luke, he explained what it is by explaining what it does. Well, if we talk about God, we can say we know who God is by what God does. Every image we have of God is an incomplete picture of God because God is so much bigger than we can comprehend. But as we start to talk about who God is, we can start to explain the things that God does. God is with us. God gives us power. God brings us together. God binds us together in love, with love, called to be in community with others. I think one of the things about quarantine right now is it's really hard not being in community with others. Even for people who are introverts, it is hard not to be in community with others. We long to be in relationship with others. And that is what God is trying to do. We, through sin, break our relationships. Our relationships are broken. Our world is broken. And in the cross, God says, let me put them back together. Let me bring you back together. Let me reconcile things. Let me unite. Let me bind you back together. That is what God does. So if we look at the Force, right? The Force is what gives Jedis their power. The Force is what penetrates us and it's with us all the time. And the Force binds the universe together. We can say, yeah, we do have a force in our life that does all those things. We certainly do. We have a God who does all those things. Now, we don't have a God who gives us superpowers, or do we? We will talk about that next time, but thank you for joining me today. This is a Theology of Star Wars Part 1, Theology of Star Wars Part 2. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to talk about what was Luke's superpower. What was Luke's superpower? Think about that, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day. Take care. Bye.